I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 424 for Sunday, August 14th, 2016, are Kevin Crossman.
Aloha, Disneyland fans.
And Brad Coates.
Greetings, everybody.
So tonight, we've got the second and third rounds of the shows and live entertainment region. This is the last of the regions that we need to whittle down to a regional champion. But before we get into that, I want to take a moment and thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and the Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. Okay, so Kevin, maybe before we even get started with this shows and live entertainment round, we should talk at least briefly about the big old monkey wrench that Disneyland decided to throw at us just before we sat down to record this show.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Disney, when they did their 60th anniversary celebration starting last year, they introduced a whole host of improvements to old attractions, new decorations, and in particular, a series of new live attractions. And I mean, thinking we'll be talking about all of them tonight, and there may be people who had favorites one here or there, but in general, I don't think any of these were considered a flop. But Disney announced as of September 5th, we will not have Paint the Night Parade. We will not have the Disneyland Celebrate World of Color show. We won't have the Disneyland Forever Fireworks. And it's a little unclear exactly what we're going to get afterwards, aside from the original version of World of Color.
Right.
And Fantasy in the Sky fireworks, which I'm not even sure what those are. Probably something small and not so spectacular, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, they kind of, you know, sort of promoted them when they made this announcement. They promoted the Fantasy in the Sky fireworks as being, and this just seems odd to me, a sort of a greatest hits of former fireworks shows.
It's just
kind of strange. How do you do that?
Well, honestly, we're probably going to get to this point sooner or later in this episode. But, you know, what is a fireworks show at Disney? It's music and it's fireworks. And if you're right there, it's really great. It's spectacular. You're so much closer to the fireworks than you are, you know, on July 4th in the big city or something like that. But that's about it. But now Disney's been trying to, you know, incorporate projection technology, other types of pyrotechnic effects or whatever to try to pump up the volume on these fireworks shows. But, you know, does the average Disney guest understand the difference between the average Disney fireworks show or the spectacular Disney fireworks show? And which one costs a lot more money to produce?
Well, yeah, that's true. And I guess because I don't want to go through and repeat this every time it comes up, I will just comment that I still think that really this announcement is little more than a convenient excuse, because we're heading into, you know, the time that they've announced that they're going to stop running these things, crowd levels start dropping back down a bit. They've got Halloween stuff coming up where they, you know, are closing the Disneyland Park early for Halloween, you know, special stuff. It looks like almost 50% of the nights in September and October.
Right.
So they weren't going to be doing those fireworks anyway during that time. And I'm not sure if this isn't just sort of a sly way for them to maybe, you know, save a little money and get another, you know, promotional bounce or public relations bounce when they announce in mid-January, you know, right before the crowds bump back up for Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, you know, holiday, that they're bringing back Paint the Night, you know.
Due to popular demand.
Due to popular demand. Yes.
Exactly.
Well,
and
they're probably going to get a bunch of turnstile clicks in the next month. Well, this, you know, for the people who want to see it before it goes.
Absolutely.
Sure. And I think, too, going along with what you said, Aaron, the other thing that's kind of interesting is that I've been wondering if they aren't going to, because we don't know exactly what they're going to do with Halloween, but they did mention that they're actually going to bring the Headless Horseman to Disneyland, which was a real shock.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that.
So they may be really beefing up the Halloween part of it. And so they may even do more of a, you know, full-blown parade and do a bigger thing like they do at Disney World. So that might play right into the hand of the why they couldn't have Paint the Night too.
Sure.
Which would make sense.
Oh, and actually, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't even thought about that because, you know, you would think that they got to have a place to stable the horse, right? Because the area that they normally use.
Because it's gone. Yeah,
it's been eaten by construction.
Sure.
So that's an interesting thing. Maybe they just needed the space that's used to store Paint the Night for the Headless Horseman's horse.
Plus, it would be off kind of strange for them to run the horseman down, you know, through the streets and then kind of, you know, switch back to music and send kids off to collect candy. You got to do something to follow it up. That's going to.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
It will be. I'll just put it this way. I would be surprised if, you know, by February, March of next year, we don't have some version of Paint the Night, whether it's identical or they, you know, do a couple of tweaks between now and then or nothing. They've had so much positive bounce out of the Paint the Night parade. I mean, they actually brought back, you know, parade dessert parties that they hadn't done for a while. They're making money hand over fist on this parade. It's keeping people in the parks at night who were not staying. So it just doesn't make any sense to me for them to walk away from it.
That's true.
So anyway, enough on that. We'll probably touch on it briefly at least, as these attractions are addressed in the tournament format itself. So we probably should go ahead and dive right in to the first of these second round matchups. One of these things that we were just talking about is a participant. We have the Parade Showdown, or even more than that, I guess we have the Disneyland Park Parade Showdown. And we get Paint the Night against Mickey's Soundstational Parade. Let's see, you know, I know Kevin feels passionately about this one, and maybe not in a way that is quite so expected. So, Kevin, why don't you get us started with Paint the Night versus Mickey's Soundstational Parade?
Well, first of all, these are both very, very good Disney parades. The Soundstational Parade is the daytime parade, and of course, Paint the Night is the successor to the Electrical Light Parade. So it's at night with spectacular LED lights and other lighting effects. And you know, again, nothing wrong with either of these if you like a parade. My personal feeling was that the Soundstational Parade, I was not expecting to like it, but I liked the floats. I liked the energy of the performers. I liked just the whole thing was just really well put together, and it seemed long enough, whereas I was a little put off a little by the Paint the Night. The music, the disco thumpy music was not perfectly to my taste. I felt it also was a bit short. So, you know, again, no wrong answers, but I'm going to vote for a Soundstational Parade because I just prefer it a little bit. And I guess Disney does too, since that's the victor come September 6th. But anyway.
All right, Brad. So, you know, according to Kevin, Mickey Soundstational is the superior parade to Paint the Night. Is he right?
Well, I liked all of his descriptions. I think he and I travel along the same path until we get to the Y on the road. Because it's exactly right. It's a great parade. The big difference is, and the main reason why it's not going away compared to Paint the Night, is it's a daytime parade and compared to a nighttime parade, correct?
So, well, that would be a good argument, but...
Yeah. But, I totally agree. I think it's a great parade. I love it. I don't want to miss that one either. I think if they took that one away, it would be a lot of people that would be very upset, very sad, because it's a great parade. I agree that Paint the Night is a little short. and the music is definitely pumped up to a different level. But in a strange way, that's what I think makes the parade work. I think if they had it that high energy and that, and you're just blistering from one song to the next, and then made it a longer parade, then I probably would have gotten my nerves frazzled and said, okay, I've had enough. But for me, the length didn't bother me so much simply because it was coming at you so fast and so powerful. And it was just the level of awe, shock and awe in that parade just takes it over the top for me. So I'm going to definitely, I love them both. But if I have to pick one, I'm going to pick Paint the Night.
All right. So guess it's going to fall into my shoulders here. We have a tie so far. Paint the Night Parade, Brad is supporting that parade to advance, and Kevin's made the argument for Mickey's Sensational. You know, considering it all, I'm sorry, Kevin, I hear what you're saying. I understand the music isn't quite to your taste and that you feel like maybe it's a little short. I have to admit that I'm taken by the spectacle of it. It's just a beautiful show. And could it be a little longer? Yeah. I don't necessarily completely agree with you on the music. I think they did an interesting job of sort of incorporating different movie themes and movie songs within the framework of a sort of overall melody. And I know you seem to find that a little jarring. I kind of like it. I think it's an interesting attempt, even if not perfect, but pretty darn good. So all things considered, you know, I think the proof is in the guest reaction. And the bottom line is that people aren't showing up at the park and, you know, grabbing their chunk of concrete 3 hours before Mickey's Sensational goes down the street. And they absolutely are for Paint the Night. So, and it's more than just the fact that it's new. It's that it's impressive and it blows people away. You know, they, as I said earlier, they brought back dessert parties for the parade because there was a demand, you know, they
had, and dining packages.
Yeah. And dining packages and all this stuff. So, I think the proof is in the guest reaction, and that Paint the Night will advance here. So, Paint the Night becomes our, parade victor, I guess is the way we could put it. And we get to another matchup that is an interesting one. Now, this was the weird chunk of the bracket where we had two ties in the first round. We had a tie between Mickey and the Magical Map and Dapper Dans. That one, the audience spoke loud and clear. We were all tied up on the panel. Threw it to the listeners, and 75% of the listeners said the Dapper Dans need to advance. So that one's no question, Dapper Dans here in the second round. I was really surprised at just how close the vote has been for the Fantasy Fair Royal Theater and Disneyland Forever Fireworks. Now, you know, Kevin, last show, you know, listeners may have heard a little bit. We managed to confuse ourselves a bit regarding the Fantasy Fair Royal Theater.
I think it was too much of that LaFrieze brew or whatever. Over there.
And you've been having some more this evening, I see. But you know, the whatever the case, Fantasy Fair, you know, Royal Theater has really, you know, had a surprisingly high level of support. And so much so that, you know, when we go to the listener vote, even after the panel couldn't decide, looking at what the listeners had to say says, I'm looking it up now because, you know, these numbers can always change.
55-45.
All right, so it's a close one, but
wow,
it does.
Two votes.
Yeah, by
wow.
Well, which is really only a span of one vote, right? Because if one vote went the other way, we'd
sure, you know, been a tie.
Mm-hmm. By the space of one vote, you know, Disneyland Forever survives to the second round, and I guess that's what these tournaments are all about, right? Survive in advance your matchup, But that was a real close call for a show that I think a lot of folks thought was at least a challenger for, you know, the championship in this round or in this region. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what you all have to say in this matchup where we have Disneyland Forever against a true, you know, which was kind of a Johnny come lately that isn't lasting very long. And it's opposite on the other side, which is the Dapper Dans that, you know, have this great staying power and are sort of a classic Disneyland experience. So, Brad, get us started. Dapper Dans or Disneyland Forever?
Let me just say that I'm not surprised at how well Fantasy Fair did. Maybe against the fireworks. I think that's really what you're saying, right, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah. Because
of who it was up against. But I got to tell you, I thought that Kevin in the first round did an incredible job of describing that theater and that experience. And he made me want to book another trip to Disneyland, just go back and check it out again. It is a great experience. Enough so that, and as much as I love Dapper Dans, and I do enjoy Dapper Dans, I think I'm going to put my vote to Fantasy Fair. He got me thinking about it so much that I really started dreaming about doing Fantasy Fair again. So I just think it's a great new, the way they interact, the way that the princesses interact with the individuals and the amount of time they get to spend and the stories and everything that happens. It's just, I think I asked you guys the last time, do you guys remember the princess that was in the, oh, I did. The prince, they used to do a princess storytelling in the castle.
You did ask about that in the bookstore there.
Yeah, but you guys didn't ever see that.
No.
But my kids, that was like every time we went, they had to go there. In fact, it's one of the guys I'm pretty sure is one of the actors in at Fantasy Fair, the guy that did it. But anyway, that was something we always loved to do, and Fantasy Fair kind of harkens back to that, but on a grander scale. So I'm going to give my vote to Fantasy Fair. I'm probably going to get my Disney card pulled, but that's okay.
You can't give your vote to Fantasy Fair. It lost in the first round.
Oh my gosh, what am I thinking here?
Yes, Forever Fireworks or the
Okay. You sure? See, apparently, I'm trying to take you back to your last show.
Apparently, we want to talk about this attraction.
Yeah, you guys just let me go because you knew, we're going to let him do what we did last time.
I thought you were going to get there eventually.
You just look at the chat window.
Oh my gosh, then the vote gets... The vote still stays the same simply because fireworks, whether I love the Disneyland Forever fireworks, I think they're the best ones they've ever done. But take away the fireworks. There hasn't really been a fireworks show that I didn't like. I liked some better than others. I am a fireworks fan. And for exactly what Kevin mentioned, the fact that when you experience fireworks at Disneyland, it's just so much grander than anywhere else where I can go do it. So I'm going to give my vote to the one that beat out Fantasy Fair. The fireworks. Oh my goodness. And now I'm going to take my medication. I'll be right back.
We have one vote for the Disneyland Forever fireworks. Kevin, did you get it right? Did the Dapper Dans go down to the new fireworks show?
Well, we've had a lot of instances in this tournament of two opponents which are very different in scale, scope, budget, all that sort of thing. And this is a perfect example of four guys that just go around and start singing on Main Street. But they have been a Disneyland institution, and they beat out what is, a pretty high-budget live spectacular with Mickey and the Magical Map. I mentioned last time, you know, if they were going to get rid of one of these two, which one would, you know, get the pickets out, you know, from people trying to save it? It would be Dapper Dans. In this case, if Disneyland said, hey, we're thinking about getting rid of the Dapper Dans or shutting down fireworks forever, I think people would have a thing to say or two about fireworks going away, because as much as I'm not a big fireworks show guy, especially if I have to wait forever at Disneyland to see them, this is obviously a huge part of the Disney Parks experience. And, you know, this Disneyland Forever fireworks show, I might have some gripes about some of the the plot elements or whatever, and it certainly wasn't a celebration of Disneyland as much as the World of Color show was, this is still a great fireworks show with all kinds of music and projection effects and all kinds of things and very spectacular fireworks displays. So to me, this has got to advance over Dapper Dan's, which is a nice, diversion during the day, but is not a, must-see type of thing like the fireworks show is.
All right. So Kevin makes this one easy on me. And the panel unanimously chooses to send the Disneyland Forever fireworks through to the third round. Maybe a little bit surprisingly, easily, but I don't really think that there's a whole lot of argument to be made. I mean, I think Kevin's right. You know, the Dapper Dans are an institution, although it is kind of interesting to me. You know, if you look at what the response was to that announcement from Disneyland about discontinuing the parade and the New World of Color and the new fireworks show, it seemed to me at least, and maybe, we're reading different sources, but, there didn't seem to be that much outcry about the fireworks being gone. It really seemed to be focused on Paint the Night. And to a lesser extent, World of Color.
Yep, I agree with that.
Yeah, but I wonder if the reason why we didn't see the big outcry is because that everybody assumes that it's just that particular fireworks show that's gone. They don't do away with the fireworks completely. They move them to some other type of fireworks.
That's what people were thinking.
But yeah, you're right. They did. The one they were screaming about was Paint the Night.
All right, so that gives us our sort of regional semifinalists on the Disneyland show side of the bracket. We can move on down now to the DCA shows. And the matchups here maybe are a little less compelling than the Disneyland side. I think Kevin has acknowledged earlier that it was a little harder to set up the DCA matchups this time around, some of his favorite shows maybe having gone away. We do get a sort of an interesting beginning here with one of the newest shows, or probably the newest show at DCA, Frozen, Live at the Hyperion, going up against a show that while I don't think it was ready right when they opened, I think it really captures the spirit of the revitalized DCA, maybe better than any other show, and that's the Red Car Newsboys. Kevin, why don't you get us started here? Frozen Live or the Red Car Newsboys?
Well, this is interesting because it's actually sort of very similar to the last matchup here because, it's a show, Red Car Newsboys, with couple guys singing around on Main Street or the Main Street equivalent, and against a big budget, spectacular musical experience with Frozen Live. And, Frozen Live seems to be just, people who were really afraid of that Aladdin show going away do not seem to be griping, at least not yet, about Frozen Live, because it's been getting great reviews and, the things that they've done with special effects and I mean, the songs in that show are just great. And so I gotta go with Frozen Live in this matchup. Is just too much high quality in that show to make up for whatever charms you might find in the Red Car Newsboys show.
Right. So we have one vote for the new spectacular show. Brad, is Kevin right about this one, or is there a value that we're missing in the sort of old school street performer?
I think Kevin got it very accurate. I think the way that he described that is perfect. It's kind of that same thing. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it's exactly right. It's kind of like the Dapper Dans, and it's that fun experience, and it's something you love, and it gives you a great experience. But the grandness of the Frozen show, I went in, I think like a lot of people go in, and was a little bit nervous about any show that was going to try to replace Aladdin. That was going to be a very dangerous step. So I went in with a little bit of cynicism because I absolutely love the Aladdin show. It never got old. And I actually walked out of there pleasantly surprised at just how much we loved the Frozen show. So it'll be something that we will continue to do for sure. So I'm going Frozen.
Yeah, look, as much as I'd like to try to make an argument for Red Car Newsboys here, because I do think that in a lot of ways they kind of capture the spirit of that Buena Vista Street renovation. You know, they are sort of a keystone to me of what Buena Vista Street is supposed to be and evoke. There's not an argument to be made. That new Frozen show in the Hyperion Theater is, to my mind, the single most impressive, you know, live stage show in a theme park right now. And I'm a big fan of Festival of the Lion King and Finding Nemo the Musical, but, you know, what they're doing with that show, with that Frozen show, is just remarkable. And I have yet to hear from somebody who went to see it who said, we didn't love it. So that will advance, and we get the last of the DCA matchups, sort of a spectacular versus mini spectacular, for lack of a better way to put it. We have the Pixar Play Parade against World of Color Celebrate, and I don't know how the fact that we're going to be going back to World of Color Classic here shortly will factor into it, but, you know, I presume it's going to play at least some factor. So, let's see, Brad, you're up first this time. The Pixar Play Parade or World of Color Celebrate?
I toss my vote to Ariel. Just to mess things up. The one thing that's going to be kind of interesting is they're going back to the traditional show, and that's correct. But I can't imagine there would be any reason why they would take out the additions that they put into the show using the Mickey wheel and using California Screamin', because those, all of that background stuff came in with this new show, didn't it?
Much of it, yes.
Yeah. Kind of came in between.
So I would imagine that going back to a traditional other show will just be the front part of it. It won't be the conversation about Disney and the history of Disney, which would be sad, because I'm with Kevin. That by far was the greatest celebration of the 60th celebration. It really celebrated the story and the background of Walt and where the park came from. But I think it's a moot point one way or the other. Pixar Play Parade is a fun distraction, but World of Color is a destination that I don't miss. Even if I hate standing and can't see and got the guy that has to put his 7-foot son on his shoulders. Okay, I exaggerate by at least 2 feet. But it's World of Color for me all the way.
All right. So World of Color is the vote from Brad. Kevin, is there an argument to be made for the Pixar Play Parade?
No, there's not really. I mean, this is a very minor kind of parade, especially since it hasn't been updated in a long time. So it's not like there's really anything new in it either. You know, if there was like a bunch of new Pixar stuff that could draw people in, maybe you might make an argument of it, you know, ever-changing or whatever. But, you know, World of Color is really a unique attraction in the Disney parks right now as a show. And for those of us who grew up with the original DCA and kind of wish there would be something better and cool at the end of the day, World of Color is it. And we might have preferences of which of these different versions of the World of Color show that have been going on. The holiday one was pretty interesting too. But in any case, all of them have the great special effects with the fountains and the lighting and the music and all the other lighting effects, and it's just a great experience. So World of Color is going to win here.
All right, so World of Color advances easily, and we'll go back up to Disneyland here to find out who wins the Disneyland subregion. Matchup here is, you know, the big guns are out. It's Nighttime Spectacular versus Nighttime Spectacular, Paint the Night Parade versus Disneyland Forever Fireworks. Which of these wins and why, Kevin?
This is a tough choice for me because, in general, I'm probably
a fan of either.
Well, I guess, but I mean, I also tend to be more of a parade guy, I guess, at the end of the day, than a fireworks guy.
Okay.
But I would say, on the whole, I did enjoy the Disneyland Forever Fireworks a bit more. Then Paint the Night, again, very close matchup here, both high quality entertainment. Just something a little bit extra special with the fireworks here for me. And so I guess I'll throw the vote that way, but it's a tough choice for sure.
Okay. So Brad, is Kevin on the right track?
Yeah, I think he's definitely on the right track. I think for me, the struggle, what made this a lot closer for me than I thought anything would ever be, I'm with you, Aaron. I think this is one of the best parades they've ever done. I'm sorry, you were talking about the show that was the best show on the parks, but this is one of the best parades they've done, and I love it. Here's the thing. If I knew the fireworks were going back and doing away with all of the laser mapping and going to do away with all the extra things that helped to expand it, and they were never going to give you good viewing spots again, so that I, like Kevin said, I had to go back to sitting on the curb for 2 hours to try to possibly get a somewhat decent view, I might just vote for Paint the Night because it's something that you can pretty much get almost anywhere, a spot that people are waiting for 2 hours, but you can get a good spot. I mean, because it's so big and so grand, and there's a long route where you can find a place to sit. I never had any problem finding a good place to watch the parade from. I've never waited very long. So, but I have to vote on what we do know. Because we don't know, is Paint the Night going away? Is it going to end up at Disney World? So, you know, there was a rumor floating around about that. Is fireworks going back to, you know, some boring level of fireworks? I don't know. So I just have to vote on what we do know. And so I'm with Kevin. Disneyland Forever took fireworks that are already loved to a completely different level. And I just don't see how anything can beat that particular experience when you bring in so many facets and I can see it from all kinds of different views in the park and get a different experience. I've never been one to watch the parade, the fireworks more than once on a trip. And this last trip, it was twice. And I almost went back for the third time to try to spot it to view it from the Matterhorn direction so I could see what that looked like. And I just think what they're doing with the direction they're going is taking it to a whole new level. So I'm going to sadly put away Paint the Night.
Very interesting. So Disneyland Forever, an attraction that had to go to overtime in the first round, an attraction that almost was eliminated from the tournament by, you know, the little show next to the castle, has advanced all the way to the finals of the shows in live entertainment region, and emerges as the winner of the Disneyland subregion. All right, well, that's very interesting. So. I guess it comes out maybe like we would have expected or thought had a good chance of happening before the tournament started. But after the first round, a little surprising, but congratulations, Disneyland Forever. Now we need to find out who its opponent in that regional final is going to be. We go over to DCA and we get two big shows again. This is sort of the indoor versus outdoor this time. We get the spectacular indoor show. The Frozen live at the Hyperion that we've all been raving about, facing off against World of Color Celebrate that may just be going away, or clearly is going away, at least for time. So, Brad, which is it, Frozen live at the Hyperion or World of Color Celebrate?
So I had a mute problem there, but I was going to mention, I can tell you why the fireworks almost didn't make it and why that became such a tricky thing. It was a Russian hat. So, but I'm glad we were able to fix that. But anyway, but moving on, I do love that new Frozen show. I think it is spectacular. I think you nailed it. I think it's by far the best show in a park right now. And just like you, I love Lion King. We see it every time. Well, we love Finding Nemo. We go see it every time. We enjoy them. But Frozen, just the different angles, you can see different things, and It's the different special effects. It's a whole different level. With that said, I think Kevin nailed it. World of Color changed forever the DCA experience. Even without a Cars Land, which, oh, heaven forbid that it had ever happened, but I think World of Color would have all by itself helped to build a stronger case for DCA being a full-day park and enjoyable thing, because it was finally something you could finish your day with at DCA, which you just didn't have before. And so World of Color is definitely the one thing that has set a standard for that park. And because it has the ability to change up on the fly for the holidays, be creative for whatever event happens to come up. We're Frozen, you know, Aladdin, outside of Aladdin having a different set of lines, it never changed. You know, it was still Aladdin years later and still loved it. But with World of Color, because it has the ability to change up and do new things, it's an amazing show. So I give my vote to World of Color.
All right, so we've got one vote for World of Color. Kevin, did Brad get it right? Is the groundbreaking nature of World of Color enough to overcome the hype of the new Frozen show?
It is more to overcome the hype, but let me tell you why I'm not going to vote for World of Color, and maybe a surprise. Both of these are great shows, and they're both, to me, top in class for the sort of genre which they are, you know, a live spectacular with special effects and a fireworks type experience, whatever is World of Color, versus a traditional Disney theater type show, which is what you have here with Frozen. And I guess I would say at the end of the day, I'm going to vote for Frozen only for matters of convenience. Okay. There are multiple shows. The fact that when the show is going on, I am sitting. As I grow older, some of these factors grow more important. So I'm going to vote for Frozen just by the thinnest of margins, just because I can, if I don't make it the first or second show, I still have another shot and I can sit down. But both of these are really great attractions. People are going to Anaheim and they're not seeing these things. You're missing out. So, Aaron.
So you're going to try and toss it on my shoulder, are you?
Well, you have the opportunity.
Yes, I know. And here's the thing. I get both arguments. I hear what Brad is saying, and I kind of have to agree. I mean, I've talked to people who, were Disneyland season pass holders back in the day when DCA first opened. I've heard all the folks who talked about, you know, the desperate attempts that Disney made over the years to try and cajole people into staying at DCA after dark, moving the Main Street Electrical Parade over there for a while, just coming up with anything they could try and come up with to get people to stay at DCA after dark. And Brad's right. I mean, bringing World of Color to the park really change the way people treat it. And Cars Land had a lot to do with the rebirth of Disney California Adventure. But here's the thing about World of Color. World of Color's impact is more than just the show. It affects the way people tour the park. It affects people's fast pass strategies. It affects people's dining plans because they make, dining reservations around it, all these things. And it just makes it a difficult entrant here to say, it doesn't belong in the finals, because it really has had this massive impact on the park. And on the other hand, I get what Kevin is saying about, the experience of Frozen Life at the Hyperion. I love the fact that there's a great view from every seat in that theater, and they went to great pains to do that. Such pains that, I think it was Brad the last time it came up who mentioned that it can be a little dizzying in the higher levels of that theater, but they do that to make sure that everybody has great sight lines. And that's my one beef with World of Color, is that you kind of have to get a mix of, you know, savvy planning and luck to get a good view at World of Color. You know, we did a dining package and still managed to get, a spot where we thought we were in the clear, and then a light stanchion appeared in front of us. And, you know, then it was an okay view, but not a great view. And that's kind of the frustrating thing about World of Color that makes it hard for me to go all in for World of Color. So I guess what I'm saying is that ultimately I have talked myself out of casting a ballot. I'm going to make the listeners decide. So we're going to put this one up. The poll will go up on the site. We'll get a chance for people to vote before the semifinal round gets recorded, and listeners will figure out who advances.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. So just a quick recap of our second and third rounds here in the shows and live entertainment region. We now have a regional semifinalist. In the Disneyland side of the bracket, Paint the Night survived an initial challenge from Jedi Training and then overcame Mickey's Soundsational Parade to advance to the sort of sub-regional final there. Dapper Dan's overcame Mickey and the Magical Map, thanks to listener vote, overwhelmingly voting for Dapper Dan's. On the other side of that matchup, we had Disneyland Forever Fireworks squeaking past the Fantasy Fair Royal Theater. Then Disneyland Forever Fireworks, once Brad figured out they had advanced, advanced against Dapper Dan's relatively easily. In the matchup with Paint the Night, Disneyland Forever again took the win, maybe somewhat surprisingly easily. And so after a rough start, Disneyland Forever is the winner of the Disneyland subregion and will face the winner of the DCA subregion, which is to be determined. We have Frozen Live at the Hyperion that beat the DJs Dance and Drive in the first round and the Red Car Newsboys in the second round. We have World of Color that beat Disney Junior Live on Stage and the Pixar Play Parade. And we're deadlocked at 1-1 in the sub-regional final here. So we're going to cast that to the listeners. All right. Well, you know, you've heard our opinions. You've heard us babbling on for quite a while now. We'd love to hear your opinions and not just to vote in our polls. In addition to that, we'd love to hear some more perspective. What did you think? Why did you vote the way you voted? You can tell us by emailing us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Or catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Brad Coates.
Good night, everybody.
And Kevin Crossman.
Have a magical day.